Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, which marks the most triumphant day on the Christian calendar, Easter Sunday, we will hear a message from Pastor Brian Grant that focuses on the message of the cross entitled, The Road to Calvary. This message is abbreviated in order to fit the single broadcast format, but we invite our listeners to visit our church website, gcafamilychurch.org. Once again, gcafamilychurch.org, to watch the full video or to hear the message in its entirety. If you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the wonderful message of salvation made available to all through the Christ of the cross. Here now is Pastor Grant.
I was driving on the Pennsylvania Turnpike when I suddenly heard a police siren, and when I looked in my rearview mirror, I saw the flashing lights approaching, and I suspected I might have been over the speed limit. So my mind immediately went to try and figure out what excuse could I give. Have you ever been there? And so your mind starts racing about what excuse can you give. Should I say to them, I have no idea what the speed limit is right here? Probably that wouldn't work so well. What about I thought you were allowed 10 miles of grace, 10 miles an hour of grace. Or I don't know if this would work. Well, I'm the pastor and I'm running to church. I'm late. Well, I don't know if that would work either. But isn't it amazing how at the first sign of a problem, we try to figure out what we can do or say to get ourselves out of trouble? That makes me appreciate Jesus even more. Jesus was subjected to the greatest miscarriage of justice in human history, and despite that, he did nothing to defend himself. He was committed to doing his Father's will and to pay the ultimate penalty for our sins. How in the world did this good man get on the road to crucifixion? You know, earlier that week, the crowd had given Jesus a hero's welcome as he entered Jerusalem. You remember they waved palm branches and they laid their garments on the ground and they shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They loved his miracles, didn't they? Finally, they had found someone with the power needed to free them from Rome. This is the one who had not only healed, he had raised people from the dead. This is the one who could still storms. This is the one who could walk on water. This is the one who could feed 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch. Jesus had the power. Unfortunately, although they loved his miracles, they hated the message of Jesus. And after he arrived in Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus stepped up the intensity of his messages. Many of us don't realize how much of Jesus' teachings were packed into the few days from Palm Sunday until the crucifixion. You'd be amazed how much of the teaching of Jesus was packed into those few days. Matthew's Gospel chapter 21 to verse 20 to chapter 26, he taught that being religious is not good enough. During this time frame, he called the religious leaders hypocrites, and he warned them that being religious provides no assurance of heaven. And I have a feeling there's somebody here this morning, and you're religious, and because you're religious, you feel that you have some access to heaven. But God made it clear, Jesus made it clear, that what God is looking for is someone who loves God with our entire being. We must love him with all our hearts, all our soul, and all our mind. Loving God is not a Sunday affair. His teachings were upsetting their way of life. You see, they wanted a God who accepted them on their terms. God, I want to follow you. Jesus, I will follow you, but on my terms. That was their attitude. God, we want someone we serve on our terms. We come when we want. We don't come when we don't want to. But Jesus was demanding repentance. In fact, the very first message that Jesus preached, he preached about repentance. And Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And so the question I need to ask you this morning, even before we get going, have you repented of your sin? You say, Brother Brian, what is repentance? Repentance is a right around turn. You're going in this direction towards sin. And you turn from sin and you turn to God. Repentance is a right about turn, a turning to Jesus. Jesus has a way of upsetting our apple cart, doesn't he? That's why some of us are still not saved. There are some individuals here today who are still not saved because you want to come to God on your terms. You don't mind this miracle working Jesus. You don't mind the Jesus who can help you when you're in trouble. You don't mind that type of a Jesus who, when you need a job, you can pray to him. But what you don't want is a Jesus who gets into your business. You see, we don't want this Jesus who would dare to convict us of sin. A Jesus who said, you have got to change. So we try to appease God by being religious. But listen, being religious is not good enough. You see, you can be baptized backwards and forwards. You can be baptized any type of way you want. You could attend church every single day of the week. But if you're not born again, you're going to miss heaven. So today, as we start looking at the road to Calvary, what we need to realize, the reality is that the attitude of the crowd in Jesus' day has not left us. Do you realize that? The crowd in Jesus' day, they liked the miracle-working Jesus. They just didn't want the teachings of Jesus. They wanted a Jesus who was like their personal butler. A Jesus who gets us what we want, when we want. But other than that, he had better stay in his room. God, don't get in my business. Leave me alone. When I need you, I'll call. I'll ring the bell, and you better come running. I want to ask you, my friend, have you given Jesus your all? Are you committed to this Jesus? Is he your Lord? But let's talk about this road to Calvary. Let's talk about the Via Dolorosa. This is the name given to the road Jesus took from where he was sentenced by Pontius Pilate all the way to Golgotha. This word, Via Dolorosa, what does it mean? The way of sorrows. This was such a befitting name. For indeed, Jesus would walk this road like a lamb walking to his slaughter. It was indeed the way of sorrows. Now, many of us have the wrong impression of what this road was like. You know, we've heard the hymn, there is a green hill far away without a city wall. And so for some of us, we may form a picture of a quiet path wending its way up a green hill with crosses at the top. The Via Dolorosa was nothing like that. The Via Dolorosa was actually a very narrow, dusty, noisy road. When we were there, I could almost stretch my hands from one side to the other. In most sections of road, it is that narrow. And in many parts of the road, shopkeepers were on both sides of the street selling animals and all the supplies the visitors would need who were coming from around the world to worship at the temple. So put in your mind this, as you picture Jesus going to Calvary, picture that all these people are on the road. All the noise, all the hubbub, all the confusion. You can now picture the mocking Jesus must have gotten because all these people would have been in clear range of him and would have an ample opportunity to mock him and jeer him. Instead of a tree-lined country lane, it was a sun-baked path with an endless number of stone steps. In most parts of the road, it's one step after another. It would be a tiring climb for Jesus. Very soon the road would take its toll on the Savior. Matthew's Gospel chapter 27 was read for us, but let us just quickly look at verse 32. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. You see, before the journey started, Jesus had been subjected to hours of torture. His face had been buffeted. They had put crown of thorns on his head. And after they put the crown of thorns, they had taken, the Bible says, a reed. They had taken that stick and they had whacked him in the head. And they kept beating him in his head. And when they were finished, the Bible said he was scourged. He was flogged. He was flogged with the cat of nine tails. What is the cat of nine tails? It's a whip that has nine different strands. Nine tails, nine strands, and every strand, listen to me, every strand has a piece of bone or metal. I wonder if you realize what's happening. Every lash would cover his entire back. And why the bone and why the metal? Because you would hit him and pull. So the metal and the bones would tear his flesh 39 times. 700 years before this actually happened, the prophet Isaiah had described what the buffeting and flogging would do to Jesus. And in Isaiah 52, verse 14, here is how the Bible reads in Isaiah 52, verse 14. Many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured. He seemed hardly human. One would scarcely know he was a man. That's how brutally beaten Jesus was. Do you love him for what he did for you? Do you love him? Do you love him for taking the beating and the whipping? But once they left Pilate's hall, they laid a cross on his bleeding back. Can you imagine? He would now have to carry his cross on the road to Calvary, step after step. But the beating and the torture had taken its toll. Remember now, unlike most of the other people who were dealt with, remember now, Jesus, the night before, was in the Garden of Gethsemane, where the emotional agony was so deep. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. And Jesus had prayed to his Father, "Father, if it is possible, please let this cup pass from me." And from there, you remember, he was captured by the soldiers, the mob. They had captured him. From there, he went to six trials, every trial illegal. 1:30 a.m., just about, he was captured. By 7 o'clock, most of the trials were over. By 9 a.m., he would be on the cross. That's how fast everything moved. We were so determined to get rid of him. We were going to rush everything the best we could. So here we are as they leave Pilate's judgment hall. The beating and the torture had taken its toll. I can just imagine my Savior stumbling on the weight of the cross. And the soldiers dragging him up or kicking him up and say, "Let's go." What a journey. But in addition to the weight of the cross, Jesus was carrying another burden which they did not see. He was carrying, listen good, he was carrying the burden of your sin and my sin. After a while, he could go no further. His physical exhaustion had reached its breaking point. In his humanity, he could not carry the cross one more step. So they grabbed the hold of Simon of Cyrene to bear the cross. Yes, Simon took away the burden of the cross, but not the burden of our sin. Only Jesus could carry that burden. Only he could take the burden of our sin. And the Bible says, as we move on this road, the Bible says he was followed by mourners. Luke's Gospel chapter 23, verse 27 and 28 tells us that a large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves. Weep for your children." You know, in those days, there were some professional mourners. They went to funerals to get the crying and the wailing started. But these were not professional mourners. And it seemed to have been mostly women. For Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem." Men, I'm talking to you. Young fellas, I'm talking to you.
Why is it that women usually are more likely to have a tender heart to Jesus than we men?
Sir,
he died for your sin to the same degree he died for the woman's sin. Sir, what is the big problem? Why do you think you gotta be Mr. Macho?
I remember when I was a younger guy, they used to say only sissies get saved. Only sissies follow Jesus. I want to tell you something. There's nothing that could be further from the truth. Listen, it takes no courage to go with the crowd. Some of you are just going with the crowd. You just go with your nature. You run around, you sow your wild oats, and you figure you're some man. You ain't no man. That's not how a man behaves. A man knows how to control himself. God is looking for some men who are real men. Any dead fish, listen good, can swim downstream. You don't even have to swim. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to some of these places with the salmon. You know, the salmon, they tell you, travels thousands of miles, and yet it comes right back to where it was spawned. The stream is uphill, and the salmon is going uphill. He has to exert everything. He jumps out of the water as he makes his way upstream. You know, eventually he gets to the point where he was spawned, and then he died. Any dead fish can go downstream. Anybody with breath can go with the crowd. It takes people with some backbone. It takes people who have some character. It takes a man, a real man, to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. A man who will commit to serving his family. A man who will decide, listen, I'm not going to be out there with the boys. Forget the liquor bottle. Forget all that foolishness. I am going with Jesus. Young man, older man, Jesus is saying, look at me. Look at what I have gone through to save your wretched soul and to make you part of the family of God. And he's saying, isn't it time for you to stop and say, Lord Jesus, just as I am, I come. Come to Jesus. But what happened at Calvary? What are some of the events at Calvary? The road would end at Golgotha, and they offered him wine mixed with gall. Matthew 27:34 tells us that. Gall is regarded as a narcotic that was used to deaden pain. Jesus refused it. He would suffer. Jesus was not going to be semi-doped. He was going to bear the penalty of your sin and my sin. He was going to bear it fully, and he was going to bear it fully aware of what was going on. But secondly, the next thing the Bible says, they crucified him. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, verse number 33, they came to a place called Golgotha. And verse 34, they offered him wine. And 35, when they had crucified him. What was crucifixion like? Crucifixion is among the most brutal forms of capital punishment men have ever invented. They tell us the nails would probably be about 5 to 7 inches long. And they would take those 5 to 7 inch nails and they'll nail them through his wrists. So you had to nail him through his wrists so that it could support the body. So they nailed them through his wrists to the horizontal beam. Can you imagine the pain of every swing of the hammer? Every swing of the hammer. The pain, the blood, they nailed them. And then they took his feet and they nailed them to the vertical through his ankles. Every bone was now out of joint. But then Matthew's Gospel chapter 27 verse 38 tells us, as we look at the mocking that he endured, the mocking. Verse number 38, two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you think you're some son of God. They mocked him. And you know, the Bible says in the mix there were two robbers. They were also being crucified. And there, can you imagine, you're suffering too, but you're mocking him. It just shows the depravity of the human heart. But you know what I'm glad for? I'm so glad that there eventually one of the thieves, after he had mocked a while, he said to him, suddenly something, the Spirit of God touched him. That guy, suddenly he says, Lord, remember me.
a change came over him. And then suddenly he stopped the other guy from mocking. And he says, we're in the same condemnation. Hold on a second. Lord, remember me. You know what that tells me? Your end is more important than your start. Some of you are off to a bad start. You know, some of you are off to a bad start and it wasn't your fault. Some of your parents put you off to a bad start. They messed you up. Isn't it tragic that in our community, there are young people who have drugs in their bodies and they give rise to babies with addiction problems because of mommy and daddy's misbehavior? Young people are growing up and daddy has disappeared and just totally abandoned them. And so this poor baby grows up with this sense of abandonment and this sense that God doesn't love me, because if God loved me, why would he allow my daddy to run away? You might be off to a bad start and you may actually for a while have thought that God doesn't love you. But oh, this morning, I hope you realize as we look at what Jesus did for you, I hope you realize that Jesus loves you. If you don't remember anything else, make sure you remember this. Jesus loves you. Your end is more important than your beginning. And your life might be a mess. And he's able to change you. He's able to put you back together. But listen, he's not going to come with some sort of club and say, you better come, let me put you back together. You're going to have to come this morning as a guilty sinner and say, Lord Jesus, I've messed up, but I'm asking you to put me back together. Oh, what a message of grace. Oh, he's willing to fix you, straighten you, and set you humming on your way to heaven. But finally, let's look at his display of love. His display of love. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them. For what? For they know not what they do. Just think of this. Jesus was illegally arrested, hauled to 6 illegal trials. He was flogged. He was spat upon. He was mocked. He was now hanging on the cross. Nails are through his hands. Nails are through his feet. He's having difficulty breathing. People are jeering him and mocking him. And here's the part. Yesterday as I studied, this struck me. He's hanging naked. Oh, you see, the pictures like to cover him up in a few little parts. But he's hanging naked on the cross while the soldiers are gambling for his clothes. What total humiliation for the Son of God. He was stripped of everything. Humanly speaking, he could not have been at a lower point. But at that very moment, Jesus was thinking of you and he was thinking of me, and he cries out to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. No wonder the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man should lay down his life for his friend. And I want to ask you, my friend, as I wrap this message up, have you responded to that love? John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. Most of us know that verse. It says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you believed?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, and remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.